a fucking lockdown. Mass hysteria. Mass hysteria.
We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore.
It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it.
But don't let me touch you.
Is he outside? Walks around as though he's well. With a sanitizer gel, he's gonna get us all infected.
Good morning, Belle.
Good morning, Joe.
Why aren't you quarantined?
I'm not sick. I'm just on my way to Costco to buy some toilet paper before we're out.
That's nice. Sandy, the Purell, hurry up.
I've yet to see a reckless fool quite like her. Without a mask or gloves, she goes. In a Grand Prix says she's been.
She thinks no one had seen.
She's gonna get us all infected, that is bad.
Stay home.
Of course.
We're all in lockdown.
Stay home.
With you.
At least 6 feet. They closed our schools.
It's now a ghost town.
The Snoxono just fell 800 points.
You again.
Good morning, Albert. I'm done reading the book.
Did you wash your hands?
I don't remember.
For those of you who don't understand what that was, that was a Corona version of, I guess, a song from Beauty and the Beast, the 1990s.
Are you sure?
Animated Beauty and the Beast, which ages us quite much.
Yeah, I was gonna say, you don't remember this, like the tune?
I don't. When I heard the song, I had to actually go back and like listen to the original one.
Wow. Yeah, I grew up on that movie.
Yeah, so I guess this was like the first song in the movie or something. I'm not
sure.
Oh,
I don't know. Okay. I haven't seen the movie in a while.
Well, that's what we do when we start our show. Welcome to the show, by the way. I'm Tom, here with Catherine. How are you, Kath?
Hello.
Good. You're looking good today.
Okay.
Feeling good? Got your
got
your quarantine glow on.
Thanks. What day are we on?
Well, we are on episode 8. This is May 7th, 2020, and this is day 56 of quarantine.
For us. I always stipulate that.
For us.
Yeah. How many? 56.
56. Yeah. And it feels like it's going to be 56 of many.
Yeah, 365 to go.
Maybe. For all of you out there, I hope you're all doing well. I hope you're healthy. You're staying safe. Hopefully you're staying at home. You're not out, getting your groove on in the mall or standing in line waiting for some Air Jordans or whatever. Hopefully you're being smart.
Of course, that was Atlanta.
That was in Atlanta. We are here in Atlanta, and obviously Atlanta is bustling. It basically is pretty much fully opened up, and this happened like a week ago. In the last show, we talked about it. But that's kind of what's happening all around the country right now, is the country is slowly awakening. State by state is opening up. Regulations are kind of lifting. People are just straight up breaking the quarantine. Last I checked, there's 1,250,000 cases of coronavirus and over 75,000 deaths, with that not going down whatsoever.
Yeah, we're well on the way to that 100,000 prediction and probably on our way to the 200,000 and on and on.
That's kind of what it seems like. I don't like to dwell on the news on this show. I mean, obviously, it's never really good news nowadays. But yeah, if you've been listening to kind of the forecast for the months to come, it feels like we've just kind of accepted that a lot of people are going to die in this country. It's kind of, I guess, the quote-unquote sacrifice that we want to say it's going to be. And, you know, we're going to get the stock market going again. And, you know, boom, we're going to be back in business, apparently. But I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, I'm reading too that a majority of Americans, even across the aisle, which you would think it would be a political issue, but even across the aisle, the majority of Americans think it's still unsafe to open up. And I count really? Me among them.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird. There's always like you read about, oh, this poll and that poll. It seems like a lot of polls are conducted, obviously. So it's like I've seen, obviously, the majority of them lean toward a lot of people in this country think it's a bad idea to preemptively kick open the door and just act like this thing is beatable.
Yeah, the problem, though, is, you know, I guess, we recently watched the John Oliver Last Week Tonight, and he makes a big joke about testing, testing, testing. And it's true. I think without testing, 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 which is not obviously on its way, or a vaccine, you know, we're a long ways from being able to safely, comfortably, mm-hmm. confidently go out again. So I don't see, I don't see foreseeable future. I don't see it happening. So I don't know when people are going to just change their minds and decide it's safe again. But for me, I don't think I'll feel it's safe for quite a while.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that kind of throws us into the first thing I wanted to talk to you about and bring up is we kind of braved the world last weekend, last Friday, for the first time in a long time. We had been getting online groceries where we go and pick up our groceries, and we're going to continue to do that. However, on Friday's adventure out to get groceries, we noticed that a lot of the groceries we had ordered didn't come in our order.
And that was the second time in a row. So we've been doing every 2 weeks we get our groceries pickup. And so this was the second time, meaning 4 weeks since we had received some things that we had asked for.
Right.
So yeah, by the time this happened, it was like, I can't live without these things.
It
really.
It was essential shit like milk and just kind of stuff that like obviously we needed to get through the next 2 weeks. So what we ended up doing is we ended up kind of biting the bullet, braving it. We had already had our masks on doing our kind of regular pickup, and we said, we're going to do it. We're going to go into the grocery store. I don't think we had actually set foot in a grocery store to that point, probably for a month.
Yeah, maybe 6 to 8 weeks. I'm not even sure how long it's been.
And, you know, what ended up actually happening was we had already, before we went to go get the groceries, I forgot to mention this part, we had actually braved going in the liquor store, of all things. We totally, of course, bit a bullet to go get more booze. It's been something that we had felt we were kind of lacking here at the household.
And that was like supermarket sweep. It was like, where's the vodka? Where's the amaretto? Where's the triple yeah. sec? Get me the tequila. Where's the beer, wine?
We went in with a mission and we split up. We got it done. We had our masks on. Not to my surprise, obviously. I think we were probably like only one of three people that had masks on in there. That was kind of an interesting vibe to pick up. It was kind of the footloose and fancy freeness of, you know, people kind of walking around and just maskless. There was a gentleman in the liquor store who is just kind of, you know, talking at length to the person at the counter, no mask on. And we kind of circumvented around, got our shit, and we got out of there. And then, obviously, we did the grocery pickup. And after the whole debacle with the grocery pickup, we said, well, shit, now we got to go and we have to get this stuff. So we had already worn our masks. We have those washable masks, basically, but you got to kind of throw them in the wash. And
we only have one pair.
We only have one pair. Definitely learned our lesson. I have more masks on the way, and I would advise that for anybody, is that, look, this is the world we live in. It's going to be a mask kind of situation. Get masks that you can wash and get a few of them.
The problem is I'm crazy about it. Like, we probably could have put them back on, but I just have this fear, like, if they're trapping the virus at the point where your face meets the mask, it feels dangerous. I mean, I don't know the rules on this thing.
I
wish
either.
We had like better guidelines, you know, from Fauci or somebody truly respectable to say like, here's what you can and can't do with a cloth mask. But I was terrified to put it back on again.
Yeah. So basically, you know, we had kind of already used them and worn them out, and then we had to go back into the grocery store. So we quickly decided I had these two handkerchiefs. Shout out to Orlando City Soccer. They were Orlando City Soccer handkerchiefs that we got back in the day when we were in Orlando. And they had just been kind of sitting in there in my closet, and I took them out. I said, well, you know, I've seen people make masks out of the handkerchiefs. So we looked up a quick video online, real simple tutorial how to kind of fold, multi-fold a handkerchief into a mask.
With the rubber bands.
Yeah, that was probably the caveat, though. The painful caveat was the rubber bands. They made the mask extremely uncomfortable. My ears hurt so fucking bad after we had actually gotten through the grocery store. So we basically put these on. They looked ridiculous on us. They were just big and bulky. And of course, they were purple because they were Orlando City. Made them even funnier, probably, visually. And we did it. We went into the grocery store, a grocery store down here, Kroger. And it was an interesting vibe altogether, I have to say. It was probably not to capacity, but I would say there was a very good amount of people walking around. Again, that kind of weird mix of people with masks and a lot of people without masks and a lot of people kind of like talking in close proximity to each other.
Yeah, there's the one lady we've been laughing about all week. I mean, this lady, I swear, she just popped up on every aisle I went to, and she was always talking to somebody else, like close talking, no mask. And to employees, the employees were wearing masks, but you could just feel their like,
tenseness.
Why are you so close to me? Get the fuck away. Like, and what are we talking about? You know, it seemed like such casual conversation. I swear she was fucking everywhere.
Yeah, she really was. She was just kind of, you know, talking to people, asking questions, you know.
A real Karen.
Yeah, she was probably a 10 on the Karen scale. And then I even saw, which blew my mind, I had separated from Catherine. I walked down an aisle at one point, and there was a couple, probably I would put them in their mid-20s, literally making out, no masks on, sucking each other's faces in the toilet paper aisle of all aisles. And just the thoughts that ran through my mind at that point was just like, good luck, you know, just good luck. And I mean, that's kind of how I feel when I see people out. And, you know, overall, it is a weird vibe. There's a tense vibe. I could feel even in the aisles of the store, like, you know what I mean? There's just like this unsaid thing of like, you feel that the people that are wearing masks are thinking along the same lines. So everybody's kind of tiptoeing around everybody, you know, giving people a little bit adequate piece of space. And
yeah, like when you're shopping for the same thing, you're definitely like hanging back several 6 feet plus waiting for them to finish at that section so you can get in there.
Yeah. And it's just like,
and I would actively avoid aisles where people were in. I remember we skipped a few and like went down other aisles and then went
absolutely
back, you know.
And then, like I said, too, there's just kind of this thing where it's like there's the people that aren't wearing masks. And I almost felt a few times the people walking around looking at me. And I mean, I'm sure there wasn't anything loaded in the glance that I got, but you almost wonder like, well, what do those people think of us people wearing masks? You know, are we ridiculous to them?
Oh, sure.
You know, and it's just like, it's this weird judgment thing that us human beings now have on each other is like, well, you don't take this seriously. And then it's like, well, you take this too seriously. So what a strange divide. And like I said, for
the MAGA hat for Democrats.
Wow. That's deep. That's true. I think we did find the mask is the new MAGA hat. Damn. Yeah, I mean, maybe if they made a MAGA red mask, more Trump people would wear it.
Didn't I see that that's happening? Did you tell me that? I think I saw that that's like a thing. I feel like maybe he brought it up and then it was like,
wow,
a bad idea. People thought it was a bad idea. But yeah, I totally saw something about a MAGA mask.
Listen, to anybody out there that wants to make a quick fortune, any of you Trumpies out there, just make a company, call it Mask America Great Again. You can take that one.
That's stupid.
It's stupid. It's yours. It's a free gift on this show. But yeah, weird vibe again, just kind of stepping out into the world that is drastically different and changing every day.
And I personally just want to point out, because it annoyed me so much, that whole shopping adventure from going to the liquor store, picking up groceries, getting them back here, realizing we didn't have everything, going back out to the store, getting more groceries, cleaning all the groceries, because that's a thing we're doing now, and putting them all away, and then cleaning my kitchen where the bags had sat, 4.5 hours.
Yeah, it was a very long stretch of our day doing all that stuff with the errands and then just the extra precautionary stuff.
But it was all grocery related. It was just picking things up to continue to live for another 2 weeks. 4.5 motherfucking hours.
And it's just like, I think what we do now is we chalk this up to be an every 2 week kind of adventure and a tiresome day that will have to happen.
Ugh.
But at least it stretches us for 2+ weeks. We have sustenance. We can live here. We don't have to go out. We don't have plans to go out, obviously. But I don't know. I mean, it's safer than the alternative. Again, I think that especially with states opening up. I mean, I heard a statistic here in Georgia that said because we opened up early, there's now a 40% chance that you can contract the coronavirus.
40% higher.
Oh, 40% higher than what?
Than it was before.
I don't know what it was before, so that could be even significantly higher.
Well, by 40%.
Yikes.
That's how much higher.
All right.
But I also saw an article, didn't read it, glanced at the headline that said, in Georgia, the death rate has stayed the same. Although I got to be honest with you, I don't really expect the death rate to change for another 2 weeks because I think first you've got to get it, then you've got to get symptoms, then you've got to go downhill, then you've got to die. So I feel like we're a couple weeks away from the death rate changing. But I think that's going to give people even more confidence. Oh, the death rate's the same. It's
fine.
Well,
yeah, because everybody's going to play it cool for a little while. There's going to be a lot of people like, see, this isn't a big deal. But like they're saying, too, I mean, if, you know, people are forecasting that we're going to be at that 3,000 dying a day by June 1st rate, I mean, you can see that's going to take time. And it's going to be a slow burn. And then people are going to be completely fucking slack-jawed, and then it's going to be like, what do we do? Well, maybe we should have stayed in our houses.
I mean, that's the thing, though, is like, stayed in our houses until when? And the answer is until there's more testing, until there's a vaccine, but that's all so far away. I wish, again, testing. If I felt that they were working on a plan, look, guys, we're working on a plan to have 5 to 20 million tests every day. We're gonna test the hell out of this. Then I think we could all be like, all right, we're getting there. I just don't think we're getting anywhere.
I don't think so.
We're just going to graves. That's all we're doing.
Yeah, and it just seems like the testing's the obvious answer, but it doesn't seem like it's the step toward that solution at all.
That would require coordination. It would require
competence,
some money. It would require things that, you know, the government is just not willing to give.
Yeah, man. It's like a monkey flying a fucking 747. I mean, we're going down slow, but it's a scary thing. But
moving on.
No more peril and gloom. Anyway, we did do the grocery shopping, which segued us into at least having a good weekend.
Yeah.
Thought we had a pretty good weekend. We kind of partied up now that we had our new cache of liquor, which was badass. We picked up some triple sec. We picked up some rum. We picked up some vodka. And we definitely indulged. Like the first day, Saturday, it was like mixed drink heaven in this place. We were making all kinds of things, broke out the blender, made some margaritas, which was pretty tasty.
Yeah, I love those whole fruit margaritas. We use the Vitamix, and you throw in an orange, half a lemon, half a lime, and some liquor and some sugar.
Oh,
and you're
it's
on
so
your way.
Good.
It's delicious. I mean, it's a little pulpy. I did notice that. Did you notice?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of possibly the only downfall is if you like your pulp, there's a tiny bit of pulp there at the bottom, but the flavor's there.
I'm a pulpy orange juice gal, so it was good, but I did notice it was a little pulpy, but I probably could have blended it longer, but I was ready to go, ready to drink it.
Yeah, so we definitely kind of christened the liquor this weekend, which was fun. I picked up some more beer as well.
You made a daiquiri.
I did make a daiquiri out of the rum, which was really good.
I forget what went into that one, but you made a good daiquiri.
I forgot too, but it was very good. And again, I picked up some beer, picked up some Scofflaw, a large pack of some tall boys there. And, you know, hey, listen, booze is an essential part of this whole thing. You know, we're not drinking as hardcore as we used to, but damn it, on the weekends, I sure like to let loose. And it's definitely fun. And, again, it was kind of worth, I guess, the sacrifice of going into the liquor store.
I felt that was the easiest part of the day anyway. So
oh,
I would
definitely.
Do that again.
But I don't know what you all are doing. Maybe you're making cool liquor drinks. I see everybody. I mean, online, everybody's like, yeah, I made this certain cocktail. And I mean, you think about it. I mean, this is the time. I mean, you could be creating some incredible quarantine cocktails. God even knows what comes out of this. By the time bars even open again, we could have bartenders have had plenty of time to be just kind of creating new things.
It's true. I mean, I know we spent several weeks. This was the joke at the beginning was we're all cleaning out our liquor cabinets. That's exactly what we did. We used up all the old little nips of things just the things that were down at the bottom of the bottle. We fucking cleared out the liquor shelf. And then it was like, uh-oh, we need more. So, yeah, phase two is now we're restocked on liquor and everything's game.
Yeah, another fun thing we did this weekend, I bought a carom board. And for those of you who don't know what caroms are, you should look it up. I'll put a link up in the show description. It's a really cool game. I actually played it like way back in the day when I was in high school, a little bit in college. it went really well with smoking weed or drinking beer. Kind of pair it with that. But basically, it's imagine like a smaller version of pool, in a sense. It can play 2 to 4 players. There's these tiny little plastic rings, and you kind of use your fingers and you flick the rings into the pockets in the four corners, your designated colors. And it's actually a ton of fun. And Catherine indulged me, and we played a lot this weekend.
We did. We played a lot. I am new to it, obviously. Your rustiness helped me to
keep up. Oh, totally rusty. I'm still rusty.
That was good because I won like once, which was cool. Yeah, it was fun. It was more fun than I thought it was going to be. It looked like checkers at first, but no, it's not checkers. It's definitely more like pool. It was fun, though. And the best part was we put a little TV tray out on the patio and had our margaritas and our other mixed drinks, daiquiri and all the other shit we had. And some dips. We had a hot dog out there that hit the fucking spot.
Yeah.
We just sat out on the patio and enjoyed some snacks and drinks and played carom.
Yeah, I think that's the nice thing about carom is that you can basically, it's very portable. I mean, the board's a little large, but at the same time, you can just basically, like she said, throw it on a small tray, set it up outside. And again, you know, the weather in here in Georgia has been beautiful. So I'm taking advantage of sitting out on the porch, drinking beers, listening to music and shooting some caroms. It was a lot of fun.
I'm sure the neighbors were pretty annoyed, though. All the clicking.
Oh, they freaking hate us, our neighbors. That's all they heard all weekend was the clicking, clicking of caroms and whatever music and glasses clinking and the blender going nonstop. That was the sound of our weekend.
Good backdrop.
Yeah, definitely. Also, I mean, we just hit it this Tuesday. Speaking of partying, was Cinco de Mayo.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure that was an interesting Cinco de Mayo for some people. Definitely for the people that went out and frequented, I guess, Mexican restaurants and people that did it at home. We did it at home. We just kind of had a little bit of a Mexican flair. Shocker, made more margaritas in celebration for that. But yeah, I don't know.
I'm looking forward to this weekend. Whatever you said about Tuesday, we didn't do much with Tuesday. We had some margaritas, had some healthier style tacos, but I'm really looking forward to this weekend when we here in this apartment are going to celebrate Cinco de Mayo and have the real thing via either delivery or pickup. I'd like to pick up. We have a nearby Mexican restaurant that's delicious, and I'm hoping to get their margaritas pickup. I don't really know
That'd
if that's
awesome.
Still a thing that's going on. I know here in Georgia they legalized it for a while. I don't know if they did
for a time. It might be.
I don't know, but I would love to be able to pick up their margaritas. That shit's delicious.
Yes, that was a fun pastime back in the days of old when we would actually go to restaurants. Catherine and I would frequent, you know, every once in a while go to this place. Literally right down the street, we could walk there, and they had the best pitchers of margaritas, some of the best, which I consider some of the best Mexican food around, and we would just sit and gorge ourselves.
Gorge,
yeah, whatever. Know. But whatever it was delicious, and
so many things.
I'm looking forward
good.
To it this weekend.
Yeah,
again, I will brave it. I will throw a goddamn mask on. I will go in there and I will get my freaking Mexican food.
Well, I'm not gonna be seated. I'm just picking it up.
No, you don't want to sit in mask style and just lift our mask every once in a while to eat.
You know how like annoying that would be to eat nachos wearing a mask. Can't even imagine.
I almost want to be a fly on the wall to see people in restaurants now that are taking that precaution eating and how they eat.
Well, I'm super freaked out about mask usage. It seems to me like the germs are hanging out on the edges of the mask. So lifting it and lowering it is just spreading germs
on
your
touching
face.
It.
But not only that, you're moving. If you imagine that the germs, and this is, I don't really know if this is true, but I imagine the germs are, again, hanging out at the edges of the mask, because the whole thing about the N95 is how close it is to your skin, right? So if our little homemade masks or our cotton masks are meant to be sort of doing the same thing, the germs are hanging out on the surface of the material. So by shifting it up and down over your nose and mouth, you're just like eating germs. I just don't understand. I want to understand the mask. Like I said, I wish we had better guidelines. I want to know the rules of how it all works, but it seems to me like unless you're just taking them on and off by the ears and washing them every single time you've put it on, what a mess. What a just germ fucking orgy you're promoting.
Boy, that's quite a visual. germ orgy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. But I don't know. I mean, to each his own. You do what you want to do. I'm not going to be frequenting any place with a lot of people for a while. I don't feel very safe. You know, I'm in the confines of my apartment complex. That's fine. Yeah. I mean, I may have watched all of Netflix by the time this is over and maybe completely cabin crazy, but we'll see. We will see.
Indeed.
Yeah, we actually just finished Ozark on Netflix. I guess we could talk about that. That was a very good season of Ozark this past season, the third season. We've been kind of slow burn watching that the past couple of weeks. We have so many shows on rotation, really.
Yeah, we do.
But that was one of the most recent ones that we kicked off. We just double dutied the last two episodes, I think, last night. And for those of you who haven't seen it, you should the whole show together, you should go back and watch it. But if you're looking to dig into something good, it's definitely got all the intensity that you need.
Yeah, it's really tough to talk about it, though, without any spoilers.
That's
of any
true.
Kind.
Yeah,
I mean, I guess all
it.
I could say is, like, the final, literally the final shot, the final scene, the final shot was so great. I mean, I felt like just as you want out of a TV show, the entire season snowballed in little pieces until it all led up to that final shot, which was pretty cool. Very well done.
Yeah, and it's hard when you kind of say goodbye to a show, especially at this period in time. You just don't know when you're ever going to like see that show again. You know, I mean, granted, it's going to be probably, I would guess, 100% later than you would usually think. Because we talked about this last episode, just about how the production community is still trying to figure out how they can even start up production again. So it's just like, I think we're going to see kind of a big wave of content, and then who knows? I mean, if this goes on for months and months more and they still haven't ramped stuff up, it's going to be like back in the old days watching reruns, you know? It'll be back like when Netflix first started, and it's like, oh, there's like maybe five things on here, you know, that everybody's already seen.
Yeah, I don't know how long can that sustain a network, you know? Ugh. It's like literally every business you can think of is affected by this whole thing, and I guess networks included. You wouldn't really think, but we're kind of getting to that point where if they can't shoot new things, what are they gonna do exactly?
I don't know. Even with movies, I was reading something the other day that had said how I guess the new thing is now is just shooting it in quarantine. I read something like Amy Schumer and her husband are in quarantine. He's a chef. They're doing a cooking show that was a quarantine style cooking show that's going to be on one of the streamers, Hulu, Netflix. And they basically sent a camera package over there. They had like their nanny shoot it. They did the whole how many ever episodes there in their house, sent it back to a post-production team, and they edited it. That's an interesting concept. I read that Netflix, I guess, just picked up some kind of, I don't know how this is even going to play out, but like a dating show, which is like love and something in quarantine. I'm probably paraphrasing the name of it. But yeah, it's same concept, all self-shot, all edited after the fact and then packaged together. It's like it's going to be a new genre of frickin' movies and TV.
Yeah, I guess in a world where Love is Blind did so well, that's kind of like the first half of that show, right?
Just Love is Quarantine.
Yeah, isolation, getting to know each other from afar. But then you can't follow up with the in-person part yet. I don't really know how that's going to work, but good luck to them.
Or it's just the ramping drama of two people getting so sick and tired of each other, you know? It's like eventually it's like...
I went the other direction, like masturbating furiously on the video chat.
Oh my God. Yeah. Or it just starts with love, ends with divorce, you know? That's one arc that they could take. You know, I thought about this. I had it written down, and it also pertains to what we're talking about. People getting innovative with filmmaking, especially like short filmmaking, while they're in quarantine. I watched a really cool short, a few weeks back called Third Eye. And I was telling Catherine about it. It was just one of those things that popped up on my feed. And I checked it out. And it was basically made by these filmmakers in Los Angeles who are all in quarantine. And they got together and they made this short film. And it was very, you know, it was very interesting. And they did it with the very limited resources they had. They basically turned it into kind of like a found footage horror short. It was probably not even 3 minutes long. and they posted it up. I'll put the link in the show description. But it just goes to show you that it's an interesting kind of creative turning of the wheels to see that, hey, you know, people, no matter what the limitations are, they're going to break through those things and they're going to find ways to be creative. And for me, that's inspiring to see. It's interesting to see it kind of play out. I don't know what we're going to call this, the Coronaissance of of art, of how the art is created now. But, you know, it just shows that, like, you know, hey, if there's a will, there's a way. You can kind of flex that creative muscle.
Didn't you say it was a whole website dedicated to this?
No. I saw that, I think, somebody was doing a film festival that was
right.
supposed to be a quarantine short film festival. I think the famous producer Roger Corman actually was the guy who was kind of funding it and supporting it and promoting it. And that was the whole thing, is he said, hey, you know, if you're a filmmaker, you're at home, give me a 3 to 5 minute short filmed all in quarantine, all by yourself, whether it's on a phone or the camera that you have at your house. And I think he was going to pick the winner. You know, and that's a cool thing. And it keeps filmmakers and creative people kind of moving, keeps those gears going, and hell, keeps you moving forward through this thing.
So was Third Eye one of those shorts?
You know, I don't think it was. I just think it was a standalone thing. Like I said, I saw it on my feed. One of the sites I like found it and was talking about it.
Hmm.
But that kind of short film would be the perfect submission to a festival or a competition like Roger Corman's.
It wasn't referring to quarantine or anything, was it? Or was it?
No, it was a completely different premise. Not to spoil it, it was, like I said, it was like a found footage thing. Probably made it seem like it took place in like the late 60s.
Oh.
And it was like following like a murder scene. It shows like a detective going back into this this crime scene at night. And I guess, you know, there's some text before the short starts. And it says that the Third Eye cult had killed someone in this apartment. And, you know, it just follows the detective going back in with his camera. They put kind of a filter on it to make it look kind of grainy and older, like found footage. Mm. And it just plays out. And I'll be honest, you know, the kind of the twist and the jump scare, it's all there. You know, it really was. I watched it in bed at night and I kind of jumped. You know, I was like, hey, way to go, guys. Like, you nailed it.
Two actors?
I'd say altogether there's three people in it.
Huh.
Simple.
Wonder,
you know,
if they were roommates or something.
Well, I think that was the premise, was like, yeah, they just made something with their roommates.
That's cool. Yeah, I saw I wish I remembered the name of the show, but it's not a show I watch, that's out right now. Some kind of a courtroom legal drama show had they needed to finish their season. And I think that's a plight that a lot of shows are having right now. They needed to finish their season. And so what they did was they did one or maybe a couple, I don't recall, unfortunately, episodes with quarantine sort of as the background plot, except instead of the courts being closed, the courts still had to finish these few cases that they had been shooting, you know. And it's not a true crime series, it's a drama, it's a fictional. So you know, they just altered the quarantine thing a little bit and said, okay, we're in quarantine times, but these court cases need to get finished and we're going to do it virtually. So the episode is all like on Zoom with all the actors in hair and makeup, in their character,
right,
finishing the series or the season. So that was interesting.
Yeah, so it's just being woven into these plot lines of these things now.
Right, and it's accurate up until the point where, again, court cases right now are not going through the courts. I don't think. I guess maybe some emergency cases maybe are happening, but by rule, really most cases aren't happening in court. So that was the one change to reality, is like in this show, because it's a courtroom drama series, these cases were continuing. But other than that, it was all like, we got to be on Zoom. And it was like,
right,
they apparently, people were joking that it was like, you know, the everyday trials and tribulations of trying to be on a Zoom meeting, like people's audio not working and things, you know, just going
toilets flushing. And
I heard about that. Yeah, the Supreme Court toilet flush.
God, there's going to be so many tales of oddness, you know. Mm. That's the thing, too, is it's like when we describe this to people in 30 years, you know, who, I don't even know how people are going to like take it. You know, they're going to be like, really, that happened? You guys just sat at home and you had meetings in your pajamas and... But who knows? But in 30 years, that could be the norm. What if that's just it?
Know.
You know, then we are just like living in pods and everything's remote.
It's hard to keep people accountable. Like we were trying to email our apartment office, and they all, you know, at the beginning of this thing, they sent out an email. Oh, we're going to be available on email and phone. Contact us anytime. We're still working. You just can't pop by. Well, I can't pop by, and you don't fucking reply to anything
and
I send
you. And you can't get a hold of anybody.
So,
right.
Yeah. No holding people accountable, at least in that sense. But
yeah, they can literally ghost you with total ease nowadays.
Right. Yeah. Because you're not, they know you're not going to show up on their doorstep.
That's going to be tough after this is all over, is like the old like excuse of getting out of things. It just may not have any kind of weight anymore. I guess you can play it up for a little while where if like, you know, you're like, listen, I'm still a little nervous. You know, your friend calls you. Yo, we're all meeting out. Like, yeah, I don't know. I still don't feel this safe right now. But like once it's all like the vaccine's out and shit, I don't know, man. It's going to be tough. Like, why? Why don't you want to come out? What do you mean you don't want to come out in public?
Oh, I'll have vague excuses. No problem there.
Yeah. Yeah, had car trouble, something, something.
Well, just wait until our employers start utilizing the same tracking software that our phones are going to have in order to do this testing thing. In order to test, you've got to be able to like track people's location to know where they've been to where they've infected others.
Wouldn't that be crazy?
And so you're supposed to have this app, some state or county or some place. God, I never know my details here, but I did read an article about some area that was requiring its citizens to download this app, and it was described as a questionable app. So whatever. But then just take that a few steps further. Even if the government uses it for good and it's not a questionable app, wait until your employer has that and tracks where you go. And
wow,
maybe even they map your house, like how long were you in your bedroom, were you near your computer, how far were you from the computer that has the tracking software. I don't know.
So basically, once we're at the point of post coronavirus, it will then be a time where the government finds a way, like it did after 9/11, and infiltrate the Patriot Act. Maybe there will be a new act that just infiltrates our privacy even more.
Yes.
Now, that's some tin hat shit.
Yep.
But I'm just saying, you're not too far off from that logic.
No. Yeah. So first the government will have it, and then private employers and
then it's truly Orwellian 1984 Big Brother bullshit.
I mean, fuck, Facebook's already doing it, right? They know when we have a discussion and you don't even have Facebook open, although they deny it. But we've all had that where you're talking about something with somebody and you open up Facebook and there's an ad.
God damn it. Fucking Mark Zuckerberg.
So we're all being tracked anyway. Don't do things that are too illegal because you'll be caught.
Well, listen, I think we should round out the show and move on to our last little game we like to play. Before we do that, however, I do want to bring up and mention, I'm not going to mention the person's name, but a person that we know who is part of the Ono Radio show sphere. A person that we know, a person close to them apparently recently passed away. It's not 100% sure if that person passed away due to COVID-19. But however, our hearts go out to that person. We just want to say we love you. We're thinking about you. We hope that you and your family are on the mend. Losing anybody, regardless of the time and the circumstances right now, is all very tough. And we hope you feel better and you get better because it's a tough time. I know that. But I just wanted to say that. So let's do our cards. Want to pull a card?
All right, here we go.
Your face says it all.
These cards are just always so intense. How much money do we need in the bank to feel secure?
Oh, man. For me, there's not a goddamn amount of money that I ever feel secure. I want all the money in the world.
Yeah, I feel like I agree with that. Money's one of those things. You just however much you have, you're eating it up. I guess I'd say like
months of bills worth.
But at this point, like I always thought like a year would be like plenty, but now we're in coronavirus. I'm like, a year's not enough. Maybe 3 years, 3 years worth of bills. And I'd be like, yeah, we're cool.
Yeah. I think I would say, I mean, for me, it would be an indefinite amount. Like I never feel safe. That's my kind of detriment, is I'm always wanting to have more money in the bank. Okay. How will relationships between men and women change in the next 50 years?
Mm.
Well, I'd say it's already changing with kind of people changing and identifying with different genders. Isn't it already changed? Will it change any more?
Oh, sure. Everything changes.
Of course it
more,
will.
Always,
will there be
the
new things people enjoy? Will there be new proclivities people like? Yes, of course it's going to change.
More thruples and quadruples. I don't even know what you call that.
Yeah.
But more of that, probably.
Who knows? I mean, being asexual is cool.
Well,
that starts to become a big... That has a big wave. I think everything can ebb and flow. So I would say in the next 50 years, I mean, shit, in the next 10 years, the next 5 years.
In Japan, that's actually a problem. There's a, you know, a certain age group where they're really not mating as much as they were before.
What age group is that?
You're going to quiz me. I'm not an encyclopedia. I just know I've read this that, you know, obviously the baby making age, right? And it's happening now. So our age, slightly maybe younger, but they're not dating or having sex as much or having children as much. And it's like worrying to the population of Japan. So, anyway, they're trying to get people out there and fucking.
They're like pandas.
yep. Okay. I'm not doing that one.
Pass.
How would we differ as parents?
Well, I feel like, I don't know. I mean, I feel like there'd probably be times where I'd be cool dad, you'd be strict mom. I'd be strict dad, you'd be cool mom. I feel like we'd balance it pretty well.
I'd be strict, you'd be yelly. You'd be yelling.
I'd be verbal.
Lot.
Yeah. I grew up in a yelly household.
So did I, but that's why I hate it so much. You yell at the dog. I'm like, don't yell at her.
I know.
Just tell her what you want her to do.
Right. You're the talker. You're going to want to talk to your kids all the time.
Well, my mom was the queen lecturer, so I guess I've probably got that.
As are you. You're the princess lecturer.
I don't lecture you.
I just think that, I don't know. I just think that I think kids either get it or they don't. And I'm not saying you have to always be a yeller, but sometimes a louder voice gets a point across.
Yeah, but I think that has to be limited to like your kid's about to run across a busy street. That's when you yell. Because if you're yelling all the time, they
come
are
over
ignoring
here. Come
your
over
yell.
Here, right here before you run into that car. I want to talk to you. Like, that's not going to do it.
That's what I'm saying. Oh. You reserve it for just those moments where it's fucking crucial.
Yeah, or like my mom did sometimes, it was just a look. At a store, she could just look at me and just tell me to come over here, please. And
I would just send
absolute shivers down my spine.
I know. I don't know how moms have that like ability. I will always remember this moment sitting at a restaurant and my mom had like a cherry tomato in her mouth from her salad. And she like stopped halfway through biting the cherry tomato and stared at me. And I could see the tomato between her upper and lower levels of teeth. And I was image is seared into my brain. You could put that in a horror movie and I would be terrified.
Did she crunch down on the tomato like it was your head?
Only like 30 seconds later after she'd finished like staring into my soul.
Yeah. My dad had a look too. My dad could shoot me a fucking look from across the table. We'd be at some restaurant and he'd just be like, he's best.
Yeah. But then like when you get to be old enough and you... I remember you saying that you used to laugh at your dad. Like,
well, when I got older.
Older, right. When you get old enough that shit doesn't work anymore, they're truly like mystified about what to do.
Yeah, that's what it was with my dad. Is my dad had such power as you know, when we were little kids. And, you know, then my dad just would make, I think it would kill him. Like, it would just destroy all of his kind of like
the power. Yeah.
Like the facade was gone. And it was just like when my sister and I would laugh at it, it would just kill him inside.
Yeah. Yeah. With me, the family, we would always have a thing called restriction, which was like being grounded, except you couldn't use your computer or read books or do anything fun in your room either. So you'd be on restriction. And I remember one time I fucked up on purpose. I was like, okay, I calculated it out. I'm like, all right, I'm going to be on restriction for a week, maybe two. I'm going to have, you know, these problems. But, you know, I'm doing what I want to do and I'm just going to do it. And I get home and she's like, you're on restriction. I'm like, okay. And she just like, the color ran out of her face. She didn't know what to do.
Yeah, it had no weight anymore.
Nope.
Wow. Yeah, once you find out your parents' power, it's over.
Yep.
All right, next question. What does your partner do that lets you know you're loved?
Okay. Am I supposed to go first?
Yeah. Tell me what I do.
Gosh.
I'm sure you could tell me what I don't do.
You're supportive and you listen. Not like always. I mean, sometimes I really have to beg to get your attention. But if it's important, if there's something going on or something good or bad... Either way, you're supportive and you listen. So that's how I know.
Hmm.
And I guess there's also like the around the house stuff, like, you know, the way our routines sort of fit like puzzle pieces to get everything done around here. That's part of it, I guess.
Yeah, you definitely do that. And I think there's even times you go above and beyond and you do extra things just to, like, I don't know, give me an extra moment or let me do something relaxing. You know, you definitely show me that, and that makes me know that you love me.
Oh, well.
Next question.
Don't expect too much more of it.
Yeah,
okay, great.
I know. We're all, not in quarantine.
Who or what has contributed the most to your value system?
To my value system.
I know, that's so broad.
Well, I mean, I'd say my parents, definitely. Because my parents, you know, going back to parents, I mean, your parents kind of teach you your values.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would say my friends in my life, too. Like, my closer friends, like roommates, people I lived with, you know, people that, I mean, sure, there's like fair weather friends, but you kind of see your friends peripherally make decisions, fuck up, have successes. You actually kind of see other people and how they weigh their values. I've had a lot of that learning lessons in my life and seeing things. So I would attribute to friendship as well, showing me what to value, what not to value. So I'd say friends and family.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to rehash family because I think you're right. That's like a very clear, at least for those of us who were lucky enough to have good family lives, you know, that's a very clear way that you learn values. I would say too, in addition, you made me think of this when you were talking about friends. I have had some really bad bosses. And
that's a good one.
Bad bosses have taught me so much. I remember one of my first jobs.
Totally.
I was, again, going back to the mom, you know, the family system, going back home and saying how terrible this boss was. And I remember she said, you know, and it might have been my dad. It was one of the two of them both. I don't know. Said, you know, this is how you learn what not to do when you're the boss. And I have taken that with me.
Absolutely.
To every job. And I've had a lot of shitty bosses, especially because I work freelance. So I work with all different kinds of people, all different stripes. And the shitty, shitty ones teach me more about who I am and who I want to be than the good ones sometimes. And the good ones do too. But man, when you come across a situation where you're just like, this is so terrible. Mm-hmm. I can't believe they're doing this.
Yeah.
And then you have the opportunity in the future to make a decision that's related. You go, you know what? I'm not going to make the decision that shitty boss made.
Yeah.
So
well
that's
put.
Taught me a lot too.
Good answer.
Thanks.
Is it my turn?
Yeah.
All right.
Maybe
well,
one more?
Yeah, this will be the last one. Here we go. Eh, it's a stupid one.
All right, next. Fuck them.
Here we go. Not going to talk about that one.
Wow.
It's not podcast appropriate. All right. What hobbies did you enjoy when you were young, but you no longer do?
I was, boy, it's
Were you
sad.
A horse girl?
Oh, my God, no. No.
Yeah, you were.
No. Do I seem to be? No.
Yeah.
That's...
No, you're not.
You.
Definitely not a horse girl.
Nothing wrong with horse girls, but like just so.
Yeah, to any horse girls out there listening, we're sorry.
Well, like honestly, if anything, I would say like I wasn't active enough. I would have been terrified of the horse. Like I was the scared girl, not the horse girl.
Well, maybe I guess my broadness of a horse girl is like maybe a girl that never rode a horse just loved horses and like those, you know, like the horses with the real kind of hair and girls would comb them.
Oh, see, I grew up in South Florida, so horse girls are the ones that have horses
equestrians.
In the stables.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They fucking ride for competition.
Oh,
and
God.
Shit.
Yeah,
so that's a horse
that's a
girl
type.
To me.
Yeah.
But no, I did not ever have a picture of a horse on my wall. I was more of a gorillas and monkeys kind of a gal.
Okay.
Anyway, so hobbies, I think the answer to this is kind of sad for me. More creativity. I wrote more. We've talked about this, I think, in the past on this show even. I wrote more. I wrote poems. I wrote stories, and they were obviously terrible. I was a kid, but I kind of wish that I did more of that now.
Oh. It's never too late. You can definitely pick it back
yeah,
up.
Yeah, and but it, fucking we're in quarantine. There's nothing but time, and I pick up a pen and a piece of paper, and I go,
yeah,
this isn't happening.
Oh, yeah. That's same with me, trying to, I guess, be creative in that sense is really tough. For me, hobbies and stuff, I mean, as weird as it is, I do a lot of the same shit that and like a lot of the same shit that I liked when I was a kid. I think I'm perpetually stuck in nostalgia, and I don't know. I can't think of things that maybe, like, uniquely I don't do that I did then, honestly.
Well, go back younger. I mean...
Younger?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I guess it's like, you know, playing, like, I guess, like, sports aren't really hobbies, but yeah, like, sure, I'm not, like, playing on team sports anymore. I'm not doing anything like that. You know, that's definitely has fallen to the wayside. But
question for you, a lot of adults do, and a lot of my past boyfriends did. What kept you from getting into adult team sports?
I think really for me is, like, as I got older doing it, it's the macho-ness of it all that's a real big turnoff for me. Mm. And it's,
I
like
think that's
the
what they liked
it's
about
like
it.
The competition of it is also kind of tiring, where it's like the idea of playing it and having fun anymore wasn't a thing.
Yeah.
So it's like, sure, if it was like, guys, you want to go drink and play kickball? Yeah. But if, like, hey, you know, and I know those guys that are on, like, hey, we're on, you know, a pro amateur softball team. And it's like they literally are, like, going out and they're the goddamn Yankees every day, you know. So it's just like there's no real divide there and there's no real love for it. So, nah, I'm good.
What if you found fun leagues in all, like, just a hypothetical situation? You could find a fun league in any sport. Which one would you join now?
In any sport?
Group team sport thing. Anything you might have, like a high school sport, like golf's not a team sport, but golf team counts, I feel.
I'd play ping pong.
Ping pong team?
Yeah, totally. Or like a league, like play ping pong versus
physical,
people.
Like using your body. Yeah. I guess I'm disparaging ping pong. Maybe that's
maybe
answer.
Baseball. Get into some ball.
Interesting.
Swing a bat. I haven't swung a bat in a long time. But yeah, no, you know, that'd be kind of fun. That's super active. But I mean, if it was just for fun and leisure, ping pong all the way.
Cool. Yeah, I guess I'd join the golf team again. I was golf team in high school. I would do that again, totally.
I do miss golf. Hopefully, in the near future, we can go out and golf. That is kind of a social distancing thing. Just stay
sad.
Really far away from me.
That was another,
and that's kind of what golf is.
That was another thing we were talking about doing more of before this whole thing. It's fucking sad.
Alrighty, let's not end on a sad note. But yeah, we definitely should end the show. Thank you everybody for listening. This is our 8th episode. We're gonna keep doing these. We do them weekly. Thanks to the Ono Radio Show, Owen and the gang. I think they're actually doing a live episode tonight. They're all there and apparently social distancing outside on his porch, so that should be an incredibly
That's
interesting
not
episode.
Social distancing
episode. Yeah, I know. Well, they're gonna be smoking cigarettes like crazy. Hopefully they're 6 feet apart. But if you don't listen to the Ono Radio Show, you should tune in. They typically do it Thursday nights at 8:30. We just pop this up kind of randomly on the weekdays. And again, I put all the links to the things we talk about in the show description. You can check them out. Intro, outro songs. I'll throw stuff like the Karen board and that short film I talked about up there. But again, thank you all for listening. This is a very strange time, weird time for everybody. It's a nice outlet for Catherine and I to talk and kind of yarn on about our life in quarantine. But thanks a lot. And we're going to take you out with a song, a coronavirus song by none other than President Donald Trump. So enjoy this one. Thank you for listening. And we'll talk to you guys soon.
Bye.
Bye.
My fellow Americans, tonight I want to speak with you about our nation's unprecedented response to the coronavirus outbreak.
Recently, we've been hit by virus, and its name is Corona. What does it do makes it hard to breathe. Right now, there is no vaccine. We should all be careful so that this disease won't blow up. Wash your hands, rub them. Don't touch your eyes, your nose, your mouth. And avoid going to crowded places. Push back Corona. Practice good hygiene and keep your personal space clean. Respect the social distancing. Fight against the Corona. Corona.